Hello, WWE Universe in the Philippines. This is Charlotte, and you're with Stan, Roe, and Raf on the SGP podcast. Woo!
Are you ready? You're listening to the SGP podcast.
X gon' give it to you. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X gon' deliver to you.
You're listening to the longest running weekly episodic Filipino wrestling podcast. This is the SGP podcast. Stan C, Romoran, and Raf Camus recording another episode without a guest. I think it's time now we start going back to basics.
We tried, no. Let it not
you
be
tried
said
last
no.
week.
No. Let it not be said we didn't try to have a guest on today.
But we're gonna have a few.
Yeah.
And we're gonna give it to you.
Yeah, we're gonna have a few lined up in the next couple of weeks. It's gonna be a loaded next few weeks on the podcast. So for now, yeah, you're gonna have to bear with us just being us because there is a lot to unpack from this week in wrestling. But before we do that, we're gonna ask Camus how he's doing because I was with Ro just before we recorded. We had a nice little bro down session at the gym. How about you, Camus? How did you spend your day?
I was working on shit.
Okay.
I have 3 articles in for other things.
Nice.
I've been speaking with an international friend. Or soon to be friend of the podcast.
Because I saw it on her Instagram, but I know some is a PWR.
Yes, it has.
Yeah,
been.
It has.
Okay, cool.
Right, so we might as well let you know that in a few weeks, if not next week, then we'll be having Aisha on the podcast.
Hey,
yeah.
And if you don't know who Aisha is, she is Filipino based in Australia.
Filipino Australian.
Yeah, she'll be facing Martivo in an international showcase
international.
Match at Vendetta.
I feel like every show should now be a home front.
This is like. Okay, Homefront set the template for guest wrestlers, but yeah. If this becomes recurring
not
theme,
gonna show Homefront.
Daming dinidefende.
To be fair, I think with Renaissance being an exception, may foreigner but I know Renaissance. Because now that I think about it, we've been on a streak where there's always been foreign wrestler.
Let us fact check that card.
Right, because Way of the Champion had Koto Hiro.
Yeah.
And then Homefront had Tengu. Why are we blanking right now?
Yeah, okay. It's a damn in a show. Renaissance is
it's the end of the year, guys.
Yeah,
parang wala. Wait, but I am checking right now the preview. Thanks to
But yeah, this show is gonna feature 2 internationals. Aisha.
Renaissance meron.
Sino?
Koto was still around, diba?
Oh yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Koto did have that first.
Yeah,
match.
Yeah. Koto was still around.
Huh. That yun yung farewell nila ni Zayden.
Yes.
Yeah. Another international wrestler.
When you think about it, yeah, he's considered international now. We all know where he started, and he started on our shores, right? So that's pretty much what's in store for the PWR side of things. We're also gearing up for some MWF appearances here on the podcast.
Yeah.
That should be interesting. We're gonna try out something new, and for the most part, it's either been an interview between us and an MWF wrestler or a review of whatever MWF show had taken place. So this time around, we'll try to mix it up and we'll be involving our favorite local reviewer, Chino Liao.
Surprise, Chino. We haven't told you yet.
And we're only calling him our favorite because Kel is no longer in the Philippines.
I was going to say, do you still like him after what he's been shitting on Twitter?
Well, you know, Chino and I go back and forth anyway, so that's fine.
Yeah, Chino is fine. We make fun of him sometimes.
Oh,
I don't.
We make fun of his opinions sometimes.
Yeah, and we almost made the eat shit bet here on the podcast with Chino, so I'll give him whatever he's dishing at me.
All right. Let him
take that.
But,
okay.
There's that one.
All right, let's start off with whatever Camus is getting excited about right now,
yeah,
and he already hinted at it earlier, and, you know, the intro of the podcast this week hinted at it as well.
I did a special edit for you.
Yes, okay, so...
Dear listeners.
Right, so, obviously, you already know by now that Xavier Woods of the New Day is going to be here in the Philippines for a special meet and greet on November 30th.
But what you didn't know is...
What you didn't know is that, well, your boys are going to be part of that in some way, shape, or form. So, Ro here is going to be attending a media roundtable with Xavier Woods, representing SmartHenry.ph.
Hey.
And the fact that Smart Henry is already getting invites to these events is something that I'm really happy about as one of the guys who co-founded the site.
Same. That's one of the other guys.
I mean, same also. I was there.
Yes, you were. Yeah,
I was there.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, after plugging in all the, you know, putting in all the work and plugging away after all these years, we finally got into a point where there are people who recognize the site.
What? Recognize and legitimize?
Yes. But at the same time, we also have to give credit where credit is due. And that's because there are friends in certain places who are aware of Smart Henry. And to them, we are very grateful.
Yeah, we'd like to thank Centaur PR.
Yes.
For this opportunity.
And Chris Marsh.
And Chris Marsh for this opportunity.
For plucking X.
Yeah, well, and for also us. Plucking Stan.
Yes, yes. Because yeah! I'm going to be hosting the meet and greet on November 30 at the SM Mall of Asia Music Hall. Basically the same venue for Big Show's meet and greet a couple of years ago.
Oh.
And if you were there...
Oh, I thought it was Aura. I thought it was the Aura version.
No, no, it was at Mall of Asia.
No. For this year?
No, Mall of Asia.
Okay. Pa rin.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because if they did it in SM Aura,
Samsung.
That's so yeah, Samsung, because it is also
yeah, I know.
It's the same branding as the one in MOA. If they did it there, I was gonna say, ooh, magandang setup yan for
esports, right?
Esports.
Yeah, it's gonna be at the SM Mall of Asia Music Hall. I can't really spill any more details other than
that's that.
Other than those that I've shared. I think yung shinare ko naman yung mga nasa social media na rin ng WWE Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Suffice it to say that when Xavier Woods comes here, he'll be talking about all sorts of stuff from SmackDown to the New Day to
Up Down Down
and everything else in between. So if you have any questions you want to send Xavier Woods, now is a good time to prepare them for us, for me as well. If you want to get your questions out there, it's at _StanC spelled with an S-Y at the end, and for the podcast, it's at the SGP Podcast. Or for Ro, if you want him to send any questions via the
Yeah.
It's at Roiswar. And we really mean it because, you know, you'd like to think that we know everything we'd like to know about the superstars we watch on TV, but there's always a different point of view that we may not have encountered yet.
As long as it's not a TNA-related question, I think it'll stay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he wouldn't want to be asked about being Consequences Creed.
Yeah, it was a no.
But it was fun.
Uses Creed.
Yeah.
He still uses the Creed name.
It's fine. I mean, but don't ask those. Don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Don't be that
guy. And don't be that guy at the meet and greet who yells, Austin Watson!
Also, don't
be
that guy at the meet and greet to remind him that Kenny Omega is so much better than him at Street Fighter.
I'm sure someone will.
Someone's going to be that jackass.
Yeah, no. So it's a friendly rivalry for one, and it's an esports thing that he'll be here for. So I'm sure he'll be a good sport about it.
I'm guessing.
Esport. About
it. Hey. Hey. Oh, okay.
That was bad. Sige, pagbigyan natin si Kamus. Pagbigyan natin.
1 week off.
All right. Yeah. So there. So that's something that we're super pumped about. So coming off of Vendetta earlier that week, we're going to close off the week with a holiday. And, you know, we're going to be working on that holiday with Xavier Woods. He's also going to be on our show called The Morning Takeover, by the way, on Wave. We're going to patch him in.
Yeah.
We're going to patch him in right around the second hour between 8 and 9 a.m. So
tune in to that.
It's going
to
be pretty busy for both me and Xavier Woods and even Ro and, well, Kamus if he decides to join us somehow. I know you've got some family affairs.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
All right. Okay, so now that we've got the Xavier Woods news out, let's talk about one of the biggest things that happened this week in WWE, and that was the Becky Lynch injury.
In a big week where they're already trying to cram in everything for Survivor Series, we lose what was potentially going to be the barn burner of a match in Ronda Rousey versus Becky Lynch. And it is upsetting so many people on the social medias that... Even, like, I have older friends, much older friends, like, in their late 40s who are messaging me, Kamus, sinajaba ni Naya yun? Just because, like, Becky's the hottest thing right now. It's that bad.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think the question that we have to unpack first is, as fans, are we in the right to be mad at Nia Jax?
We're mad. We're in the right to be mad about the situation, but we're not right to be mad at her.
Yeah, what's the difference? How do you differentiate
pretty much what Kamus said, you don't want to get mad at her because she don't want that to happen.
No
right?
one wants to break somebody's face.
No matter how allegedly careless someone is, or no matter how, you know, how
stiff.
Much... stiff someone is. The fact is, nobody wants to take someone out like that and change the plans that were laid. Especially such major plans as Ronda versus Becky. So, since it was an accident, parang it's really not that fair. You can be mad a little bit for Nia, but you have to learn to let it go then. But because you just have to be mad at the whole situation that forces Becky versus Ronda to not happen.
Not happen now.
Yeah, not happen for Survivor Series this Sunday.
Yeah.
So one of the things that came out after the Becky injury is how it's not going to happen now, but now there are rumors that Becky versus Ronda could happen by WrestleMania.
Pwede.
And it's a happy accident of sorts. Yeah.
I would prefer it.
I would love that, especially because we know that Becky's going to take the L against Ronda.
Are we?
If I had to bet money on it, I would bet my money on Becky taking the L. So now that they're plugging Charlotte in Becky's place, I think it's a very interesting scenario where I don't mind Charlotte taking the L. Because, I mean, you know, Asuka took the L against her at WrestleMania. I mean,
there's just so many moving parts kasi right now.
And in a way, it kind of preserves Becky's momentum. Because she's clearly the most over superstar on the main roster today, regardless of sex and gender.
Okay, so let's recap lang. She has had one of the best Monday Night Raw invasion angles.
Oh, best sieges.
Best sieges, most successful sieges, with an iconic shot of her freaking face bloodied up.
Yep.
People hearken back to Stone Cold about it. It's so good that it's just like, it's visceral. Eh?
Yeah.
It's visceral and she got the job done. Point, Becky. She comes on SmackDown with a black eye and you can see where Nia broke her face. Diba? Yeah. It's right there under her eye socket.
Nasty bruise.
Namamagapay mukha niya.
Exactly. And the visual, again, striking. Point, Becky. And she lays down one of the baddest, most concise promos that you can deliver given the circumstances. Point, Becky.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the selection of Charlotte, she ups the drama with the hug. Point, Becky.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In 2018, did you expect Becky Lynch to be the best thing in wrestling without ever setting foot in the ring?
Honestly, I didn't.
I did not.
And this is me as a Becky super fan. I didn't think that they would push her to this place, or that she would get herself over to this level as well. And I'm really happy that she did. I don't care anymore if it's an accident at this point or whatever circumstances led us here, but the fact that Becky has grabbed the brass ring and ran all the way to the other end zone with said brass ring, I'm happy for her. I'm really happy. And I think na it's on WWE right now to not drop the ball the way they dropped it for Sasha when she was in this position a couple of years ago.
The same way they dropped it for Asuka. Also.
Yes.
Well, definitely was not expecting this because obviously when Charlotte moved to SmackDown, when Asuka moved to SmackDown after the Royal Rumble, I always figured that she would not be given that opportunity. She would be lost in that shuffle for a while. And then they did, and then that's what happened. And it's all
the
great.
While is over.
Yeah, the while is really over. And I can't believe I always knew that she was the best out of the four horsewomen. And yeah, because if you watch her,
for real,
she is the most comfortable in the ring.
That's out of all four,
with Charlotte being the least.
Legit. That's a legit assessment.
And it was only a matter of time until she got a heel turn that she could really run with. Because it's the first heel turn she ever had in NXT as Sasha's friend, Sasha's sidekick. It wasn't that much. But now.
God.
She has been able to establish herself as the man, and
it's so simple.
Yeah, it is so simple.
It is so simple, and it's so great.
Yeah,
and it's.
What are your thoughts, by the way, on the man? Because Ronda said she didn't fight all this time for women for Becky Lynch to be considered the man. But personally, I think it's Becky transcending. The patriarchy.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to say the same thing.
Legit, diba?
Yeah. I was going to say she just grabbed it by the balls and twisted it upside down.
Yeah, like, but okay, the man now does not mean a man, a literal man with a penis.
She's number one, is what she means. She's the most over. And on top of that, it's a great homage to Ric Flair. Diba?
That's
to
what
be
I was
the man,
say,
you have to beat the man. So she is the man. And until anyone beats her, Nia Jax breaking her face notwithstanding, she is still the man.
Because when I first saw it, it was like, it's a co-op. It's a co-op for this feud.
Perfect. Yeah.
It's never going to be anything more than a throwaway for one, for whatever short-lived feud this was going to be. For however long they were going to drag out Charlotte versus her, that was it. That's the limitation of the man angle. It only was in reference to Charlotte. Now, I'm your daddy. You're the bitch here.
Toto.
And but for it to transcend all of that, and it's just like, it just grabs everyone by the balls, twists it to the side, and it's like, you know what? I'm the bitch now. Mm. Everyone else get in line. It's scary, and I like it.
All right, so there's a deeper issue with Becky Lynch and her character that we have to dive into. But before that, let's talk about Daniel Bryan. Because So let's talk about Bryan and how he became a 5-time WWE champion this week. I didn't expect it. I woke up that day not expecting Bryan to be in a championship match, let alone to win the title and turn heel. I really regret clicking on our spoiler chat because we have a little chat group where, you know,
it was only a matter of time. You would have spotted.
No, I would not have.
Someone would have gotten
on Twitter. Yeah,
some insensitive friend of yours who
sensitive, more of, I don't know, excited than.
No, the thing is, I was at the dentist that day.
Okay,
and I was willing to just use my data and watch SmackDown. So I was about to watch anyway. So the fact that I spoiled ako, I skipped right to the main event so I could watch it happen. Right. Okay. So I'm sure we all know the reactions already. Like, holy shit! What the fuck? How did this happen? So let's unpack the heel turn which led to the championship win. Because
let's unpack our feelings.
My reading on this is that Daniel Bryan ultimately proved The Miz right. Because if you remember their feud from earlier this year, The Miz always said that Bryan was never willing to set his virtues aside. Never willing to cross over to the dark side in order to win. When Bryan's motivations upon his return was always to get back into the WWE championship picture. So clearly there was something missing there. And the fact that Bryan finally realized that, holy shit, Miz is right. Or whether or not he thought that Miz was right. Bryan proved Miz right through his actions on SmackDown this week. So Miz is the real winner here.
Yeah, but let's also consider the circumstances that led to it on SmackDown. Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman orchestrating all of this.
Yeah.
He poked the bear. Mm-hmm. He poked the bear with Styles and Bryan, and this just turned into a masterclass of manipulation.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Yeah.
This was Paul Heyman at his subtle best without having him take the spotlight and without needing Brock Lesnar.
He didn't even step into the ring.
Yeah. He was there by the announce desk and it was timekeeper's area and just toyed with these guys. The fact that Daniel Bryan's buttons were pushed and that he was pushed to the point that he had to get physical with AJ and AJ had to retaliate. This is escalation that is so good on a one episode, you know, closed reading of it, and it works out so well. And for me, for Bryan to tap into that mentality that I'm already considered number one best performer on WWE. I might have taken 2 years off, but I'm still the fucking best. For him to reinforce that with a win, even though it's dirty, in our heart of hearts, we knew he was the best. And he proves it here with a win.
But why did he have to turn heel? I think that's the big question.
That's the question.
He knows that he's one of the best. So
he is the best.
He is the best, of course. But I will say that he's the best.
Sorry, Jake De Leon, homer for AJ Styles. Number one fan in the Philippines, but Daniel Bryan is better than him.
I just feel like, you're right. It really is gives no fucks Bryan.
Exactly. This is the Daniel Bryan I miss.
Yeah, from Ring of Honor World Championship reign.
Somebody's gonna get their fucking head kicked in, Bryan.
Somebody tweeted this, and I forget who this person is, but I might as well say it was not our original idea. But this person on Twitter said that karma caught up to AJ in a very big way, because if you remember when AJ first won the title, he kicked Dean Ambrose in the nuts.
Yep, he did.
And then he did.
And that was so long ago.
That was 2 years ago. Over 2 years ago. And then his second championship reign started right before Survivor Series last year when he beat Jinder Mahal.
It's mirroring. It's mirroring last year.
So talagang kinarma siya, diba? Whether or not they were conscious about it, AJ's nuts put someone over again. And this time, AJ lost the championship right before Survivor Series, effectively changing the Brock Lesnar match for the second year in a row.
Okay, we'll get to that Brock Lesnar thing in a bit. Yeah. But I just have to say, the biggest loser in all of this, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay.
He gave how many nut shots to AJ through the course of their feud and still couldn't win?
Fair.
Daniel Bryan gives him one.
Well, to be fair, timing yung kay Bryan. So he times it right while the ref isn't looking.
Which is why, who is the biggest loser here? Yeah. Shinsuke Nakamura.
Shinsuke just, you know, hit his balls whenever he could.
Every single time. And yeah. With no subtlety.
And when Shinsuke did it the first time, he did it after the match.
Yeah.
Wala nang bearing eh.
Oo nga.
So I'm sorry to our friend Owel Babasa again. Shinsuke Nakamura, homer number one in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Talot
pikon Shinsuke. Your boy can't do it!
Diba sabi na pikon talo. Brian wasn't pikon. Hindi siya natalo.
Yeah, he just wanted to kick his balls.
Yeah.
Okay. So
what is it about AJ that makes people want to turn heel and kick his balls?
Fuck, I don't know.
Is it the soccer mom hair?
No, okay na, ang ganda ng buhok na ngayon eh.
Yeah, I know.
It's the best it's ever been.
Yeah. Pantene commercial.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's something that I'm not sure if you guys have realized, but from the SmackDown guys who were big deals in ROH, almost all of them sans AJ are heel.
Yeah.
Cesaro is a heel. Brian is a heel. Nakamura is a heel. Samoa Joe is a heel.
Nakamura was
well, you know, by association with NJPW.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. So Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though they're on Raw, they are both heels.
The indie guys are heels.
Seth is the exception.
Seth is the Dean exception. Ambrose.
Ambrose is not an ROH guy.
Ambrose is CZW.
He was not. Yeah, he was a CZW guy.
So with the exception of Rollins and AJ, all of the big names who came from ROH are essentially heels. I'm not sure if that's really something to marvel at or to even.
I'm just thinking
it's fascinating.
I'm kind of thinking that I don't know that Shane McMahon wanted to replace AJ Styles. With Daniel Bryan as a heel, you know,
that's the swap.
Heel Shane will pull for heel Bryan because he knows that AJ Styles did not get the job done against Brock Lesnar last year. But another thing Ricky brought up is that
Ricky Publico, our SmackDown reviewer,
he brought up privately, like, why would you replace AJ Styles, one of the biggest guys or biggest champions they have,
biggest draw,
yeah, with Daniel Bryan, who is literally physically smaller than both Styles and Brock Lesnar.
Not only physically smaller, but he's got the history of concussions and neck issues.
True, diba?
Dun pala medyo delicate.
Siguro nag-usap sila na, okay, I'm gonna turn heel, I'm gonna give no fucks, I'm gonna give no shit, and you know, kick AJ in the nuts, in the head. And then,
by the way, Shane, we're going to switch spots. I'm going to be in the Survivor Series match. You're going to end up facing Brock.
Let's go back here. Let's go back to yung question that Ro asked earlier, which I don't think we were able to answer. And it's, was the heel turn necessary? Because if you're going to look at it from the meta point of view, Brian, as reported by, I think, Dave Meltzer, Daniel Bryan had been wanted to turn heel for quite some time.
That's true, though.
So if Bryan wanted to turn heel for quite some time and Vince McMahon finally acquiesced, then I guess it's a good thing because, you know, it's something Bryan wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But in the storyline sense, did Daniel Bryan, the character, need to turn heel?
Yes.
Okay, though.
Yes.
It's
not a big yes and necessary.
It's not an overwhelming yes, but then it's a yes that, well, we were going to get there anyway on the road to WrestleMania.
Pretty refreshing, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all. I think there was a time when I believed that they could never turn Daniel Bryan heel. He would be a career babyface.
No!
Considering everything he'd been through, I really thought he'd be a career babyface the way Shawn Michaels was in the second run. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, the more I thought about it, the more naalala ko si Becky Lynch. Callback. And Becky Lynch once explained on a podcast, I'm not sure if it was Stone Cold's or Talk is Jericho.
That was Stone Cold. I'm pretty sure that was the Stone Cold one, yeah.
What Becky said on that podcast was, the more that the babyface is loved by the fans, the more impactful the heel turn will be.
Yes. True.
So that being said, the Dean Ambrose heel turn was really impactful, especially given the Roman Reigns announcement earlier that night.
The timing of everything.
Yeah. The Becky Lynch heel turn was not as impactful because people loved Becky to the point that they were willing to overcome yung ginagawa niyang masama or willing to forget that.
Yep.
But with Brian, he's beloved to the point na people couldn't fathom that he would stoop down to that level.
Yep.
And I think that's why this heel turn is so effective and why I'm not opposed to it. Because I was shocked and I marked out.
Here's the thing. Anyone who saw Daniel Bryan's run in ROH when he was smarmy, when he was this kind of jackass, knows that he's more than capable of carrying a title.
Mm.
Not just any title, but the company's top title with these type of tactics.
Mm.
the bag that he's about to dig into on this run, for however long it's going to run, and beginning literally with a match that we have ruled out for years against Brock Lesnar, intrigues me to no end. On a meta side, the Daniel Bryan heel turn, okay, probably that wasn't contractual, but the Brock Lesnar one-off probably was. That was one of the sticking points when he said, I'm going to renew, but you got to give me Brock. Okay. And if this is the way for them to solve that...
Or you're going to give caveat, me what I want, right?
And give people what they didn't know they wanted.
That's true.
Then kudos to WWE for making the best out of a bad situation.
Yeah, I think as long as AJ Styles is on SmackDown, as long as SmackDown is the house he built, they always are going to have a top babyface in it. So, imagine the matches we're going to get out of this, diba? Imagine the series is going to be, especially when they get more time on a pay-per-view.
I've got two questions, though. My first question is, how does heel Bryan work against heel Brock? Second question is, okay, so Bryan is the heel. When he's done with AJ, if he is done with AJ at some point, diba? Sino babyface ang step up? Jeff Hardy? Fuck, I don't want to see Jeff Hardy versus Daniel Bryan.
Actually, I would.
Yeah.
It's not too outlandish.
Jeff Hardy isn't like my first pick for...
Jeff Hardy is down the line.
For WWE championship contender. Probably get guys like Rey Mysterio.
Or Rusev.
Rusev, yeah.
Rusev!
Who we haven't seen on TV in about a month.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was on the kickoff, on the crown jewel.
And mixed match.
Okay.
Mixed match last week.
Yun lang, hindi ko lang maisip like who would be the baby faces.
Kasi, no, that's fine because the baby faces at this point will be people that WWE SmackDown is gonna build up.
They're gonna have to elevate guys. Yes. Then that's the thing. It works now. Because if one of our complaints before with SmackDown was that, oh, it's intriguing, but everything just seems to circle around these guys, is now, okay, Daniel Bryan is in a position to put out the best as a heel against anyone else.
Going back to the first question, which is how heel Bryan versus heel Brock is going to work.
Yep.
Welcome. He's going to kick his head in.
That is true.
He's going to kick his fucking head in.
Where we go into the gray area. At this point, I think that if you saw, if you listened to the crowd after Bryan won the championship, they were still pretty, despite the shooked faces that the camera showed,
there was still
a pretty loud pop.
Yes.
Because people did want to see him win the championship. Yeah.
Just not like that.
Yeah, but, you know, it's still a good sight to see. Now, he won the championship. He is a champion now. He is a champion again.
Again.
After miraculously coming back from retirement, injury retirement.
Against all odds.
He will be the face against Brock Lesnar, the guy who people don't want to see as Universal Champion.
Or at all.
Yeah. Oh, sure, whatever. Some people want to see him.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I'm sick of it.
He's still a draw. Let us
be fair to people who want to see Brock Lesnar.
Y'all meatheads.
Yeah. So, yun, that will be how it's going to go down because the gray area does exist. Because, you know, Becky Lynch is in the gray area. You know, being the heel.
More so now than ever.
Yeah, being the heel who hugged the best friend or the ex-best friend. She was just recently putting through chairs and tables.
Is she still a heel though? Because from her promo on SmackDown last week, before she got injured on Raw, hindi naman super heel yung promo niya. Because like the way she threw barbs at Ronda was the same way Ronda threw barbs at her. And if Ronda is a babyface in doing that, why can't Becky be?
Alright, at this point, we have to get rid of
misnomers.
Yeah, no, not the one misnomers, but I think we have to be looser now about who is a heel, who is a babyface, and all that.
The alignments.
Because right now, as you said, the alignments, the lines are getting blurred, whether we like them or not. And I have to say, most of us do like them.
Who doesn't love Becky?
It's just a matter of reconditioning ourselves to find out how we're supposed to react to each.
You just enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think the question here as well is, should everyone be held to the standard of, okay, everyone is now a gray character? If you have human tendencies, human motivations, human actions, you are allowed the human reactions.
So I think there are two levels to answer that. The first is that, you know, when you look at human beings, you can't just easily say, now, oh, this person is just bad, this person is just good, right? Because all of us, as they'll teach you in Christian living education, right? All of us sin. At the same time, even those who are in jail have families whom they show love and affection towards.
The only true evil here are the Marcoses. just to get that out of the way. Just to get out of the way for any other sympathizers there, guys. If you're going to use our rhetoric against us, Marcoses are evil.
All right. Thank you.
Fuck you. No gray area.
Okay. Thank you, Camus.
There you go. Okay. Continue. Because they do have families too.
So that's the first level. They're equally culpable. But the second level is, I don't think that every wrestling character should be in the gray area. Because
No.
Yeah, not every character should and can be in the gray area. For example, Ty Dillinger. Mm. Ty Dillinger is just an underdog who likes to call himself the perfect 10. Mm-hmm. He likes to keep yelling, 10, 10, 10. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And he's injured.
And he's injured. Right, so like, how am I supposed to boo this guy? But there's no reason for me to think that he's such a complex character. Another example, Lars Sullivan. Mm-hmm. Lars Sullivan has a prominent spot on the NXT card, but he's just a large monster of a bully who uses large words. Mm. That's it. He doesn't really have any redeeming factors. He's not somebody like, say, Candice LeRae, who will still stand by the side of her husband and yet acknowledges that there's something not right here. Mm-hmm. Or even Renee Young. Mm. Renee Young, who as a color commentator is a babyface, and yet, you know, she will not openly denounce her husband on the broadcast.
Who everyone knows is her husband.
Yeah. Even though it's not been acknowledged in kayfabe.
Right, so there are certain Total characters.
Divas. Total Divas is...
Well, he's John on Total Divas.
Yeah, that's fine.
And that's the reason why Renee and
Jonathan. Jonathan Moxley.
And that's the reason why they're no longer...
I know.
They're no longer on the show.
Yeah.
Yes, they pulled out of the show because Dean Ambrose wasn't entirely comfortable with it.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. John.
Okay, so going back.
Props to John.
Props to John.
Good guy John, right? So going back, the gray area shouldn't be for everyone.
Yes. Sure, yeah. Because the only way that the gray area works is if you have clearly defined black and white.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a good point.
That's the thing there. It's a spectrum, but for a spectrum to exist, you have to have extremes.
I have actually not thought of it like that. I've seen takes on whether we should keep the face and heel alignment. I've seen takes na advocate for the face and heel alignment, but no one has ever put it like that. Now, you need the extremes to have the middle.
Gomes is doing a stupid happy dance right now because he made a very good point.
Yeah.
You heard it first here on the SGB podcast.
Don't shut up, Gomes.
Yeah.
The way that I've always thought about it because is that you always have to work within a spectrum. You can never be one or the other forever.
Keep going.
It's like you can never be one or the other forever because if you're always on one side of it, you never flow into the gray and reach the other end. It's like swimming. You have to reach one side of the pool to reach, you know, you only reach the other side of the pool by swimming through the middle.
Also, if you would notice, it especially does not work for new characters.
Yes.
Because if you are a new character and you want to be this edgy, pahul...
Edgelord.
You know, Edgelord. Because Edgelord is sometimes a heel.
Like a super layered character na sobrang daming nuances.
Yeah, yeah. Na, you, na hindi alam ng audience kung saan ka ilulugar when they see you the first time. Mm. You're usually going to get booed. Despite you probably having babyface tendencies.
Mm-hmm. And the best characters, especially when you're new, are best defined in a phrase.
Oo. Tama. Ito.
If you can clearly encapsulate your character in a 4 or 5 word phrase, then you know what your character is and you can communicate that very well.
Yeah,
shout out to Mike Quackenbush.
No. The best example.
Also, freaking listen to Kayfabe.
What's it called?
Kayfabe 2.0. Anyone who is working
with
the industry,
by the way, it's really, really
bite-sized podcast.
It's 15 minutes max.
It's mostly for wrestlers.
Yeah,
it's
mostly for wrestlers.
Podcast for by wrestlers.
But it also elucidates you to concepts.
You
like
want to know who are the best examples of this pahul tweener pandar na characters?
You know,
our friends on that promotion that we will not name.
Are they our friends?
Okay, quote unquote friends. I say that loosely.
God, because
you know, fighting basurero, fighting gardener sa cementerio, all of that shit is. I'm gonna throw the shots right now.
I'm not laughing at the shots being taken. I'm just laughing at the idea of I forget that he was a
Fighting Basolero. Fighting guy who has a really overdue Morocco bill.
Fighting guy who likes to order at the bar with two fingers tapping on a glass.
Yeah, so-called queen of Philippine wrestling. So-called. Don't get it twisted, Crystal.
Self-proclaimed. That is the proper.
Yo, yung mga characters sa yun na hindi mo alam kung saan ilulugar. That is a really bad example, and that is why we need to delineate right away who is a babyface and who is a heel. And then eventually, when you get more exposure in front of the crowds, when they understand you more, when they are familiar with you more and more, that's when you can start adding the layers and the nuances.
Here's another thing I want to add to that. The reason why you can't just start off with the gray area agad-agad is one of your key audiences in wrestling is children.
Oh, yes!
How the fuck do you explain the gray area to a five-year-old?
Sure you can, but it's going to take some time. It's super hard. Yeah.
It requires them to think more than their little brains can comprehend.
And this is not to be condescending to kids.
But it is condescending to kids. I'm condescending children here. Because when I try to explain to my nieces...
What grab gamos is?
Not just grab gamos. Not grab gamos. I'm not going to talk about it myself. When you try to explain wrestling to them, and then you have to dumb it down to the level. And I'm looking at them right now, like I'm visualizing them.
Wait, but wrestling is good versus evil. Good guys versus bad guys.
It's good guys, bad guys. And then they ask me, "So Tito, where are you?" This is tricky, but let me refer to these guys. And then you show them the very basics. You show them Hulk Hogan versus...
Wow, from Grab Gamas to fucking Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. Because Hulk Hogan was the epitome babyface at the time.
He's the most basic good guy.
Before
John Cena.
Yeah, before John Cena. And you want to tell them, you know, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, all that good shit.
Drink your milk, blah, blah, blah.
All that good shit. You point towards Hulk Hogan, it is so easy for them to say, that's a good guy in wrestling. And for that to work, and then, you know, later down the line, I can be like, hey, by the way, do you want to see when he goes bad? Hey, do you want to see when it gets ugly and he's eating a cheeseburger?
Yeah.
When you have to do a reality show to pay the bills?
So I guess bottom line is, yes to baby faces and heels pa rin. Only up to a certain point, I guess. And then when you start, when these characters start growing, and when they start adding dimensions to their personalities, that is when you should probably think about loosening up your definitions of who's a good guy, who's a bad guy. At this point, they are now considered human beings.
I was toying with this idea earlier on who should have a gray area, who doesn't deserve a gray area. And I was thinking to myself,
yeah, it's really fluid.
If this is a character who just turned face or turned heel, are they afforded the gray area? Because Becky Lynch just recently turned heel.
No,
she has the gray area. But Daniel Bryan, I think we can all agree that he's unequivocally a heel. Like, walang gray area kay Daniel Bryan, despite the layers to his character.
Yes, because he hasn't started explaining shit. He hasn't told us why he did that.
He hasn't had a chance to justify anything, which he's probably going to get in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Before even Survivor Series and the Survivor Series kickoff. So the moment they come out with that explanation for Daniel Bryan as to why he did the things he did, that's when the layer will be added to his character.
Yeah.
That's it.
So there. I actually enjoyed this discussion. I was so excited for us to unpack this.
Also, just for everyone, Accountant is clearly babyface.
Cena?
Baby Accountant.
Who's Baby Accountant?
Oh, Mike Quackenbush.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Baby Accountant.
Sorry, I haven't caught up with Kayfabe 2.0.
Yeah, I'm just like halfway through season one.
It's like, Baby Accountant is like the super far end stuff. Baby Accountant is babyface.
Well, thanks for the inside joke we didn't get.
Listen to Kayfabe 2.0. It's good shit.
Right.
It is.
Truly good shit. I can vouch for that. So there, if you have any questions or if you want to try to flesh out these arguments more or these nuances with me, with Gamos, and with Ro, you can always hit us up. It's at the SGP podcast.
Which we've already mentioned.
Yeah, at Roswar, at Caveman Gamos, and at @StanC.
Yeah.
All right. So we're not going to end the podcast just yet because Survivor Series is taking place this weekend. So now that we've laid out a lot of the big storylines heading into the show, let's give you our predictions, because it's been a while since we actually did predictions for a big show on WWE.
Because we didn't have an interview.
There's that.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
And Nicole's not on the podcast.
So. Well, she hasn't been on the podcast in a really long time.
Nicole, phone patch. We can do it now. We have the technology.
Okay.
Actually, I think every time that we do a phone patch with the predictions lined up, we have to call Nicole in.
Well,
the same way that Simmons calls his dad.
Well, yeah, but the girl has school, Camus. She has
let,
a degree.
Let her
to
decline.
Get.
Let
she
her
has
decline.
A degree to earn.
Nicole, I'm trying to involve you.
All right, let's start off
Run
with the kickoff match. It's the 5-on-5 Survivor Series Tag Team Elimination match.
Which, by the way, the Lucha House Party is on.
No,
yeah,
okay.
This is weird.
Okay, run down the lineups and then I'll give you my take on that.
So Team Raw has Bobby Roode and Chad Gable.
As the captains, Emma.
Yeah, captains. As the captains. The Revival, the B Team, the Lucha House Party, and the Ascension.
Yep.
Versus Team SmackDown, which has the Usos as the captains. The New Day, Sanity, Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson, and the Colons.
Hmm. Okay, so now that that has been laid out,
there are three-man teams.
That's why it lines up. It lines up. It lines up aesthetically.
No, it does not.
Lucha House Party.
No, because SmackDown has 2 3-man teams. Raw only has one.
Sanity can pull one out.
No! Oh. Sanity has to come out as a unit.
Oh.
So, who's the next... Is there any trio that can be added to...
Nope.
The Lucha
not
House
really.
Party?
Wala. No. To Raw? To Raw.
No, not really.
To balance it. Oh, shit, wait. There's the Big Show, too.
Yeah,
no, the
Big Show's in the other match. Sorry.
And he's also on SmackDown. All
but
the trios
are on SmackDown.
Except the Lucha House Party are on SmackDown.
Wait, walang man.
I think this is silly. I mean, I like that all of them are getting their PPV bonus paydays
True.
And all that. But I'm kind of over the whole tag team Survivor Series teams.
Because I actually forgot for a minute that Sanity was
on SmackDown.
On SmackDown. Well, I knew they were in the match, but then I was like, wait, all three of them are.
Well, this is okay. Because
I thought
another trio. So SmackDown din magagaling. You put AJ Styles with the Good Brothers.
True.
That's another trio. SmackDown din yun.
Because in my head it was like, oh look, New Day lines up with Lucha House Party. That's gonna be.
Can
fun.
I say though? I was watching the segment with the Usos and the rest of the Team SmackDown teams.
It's funny.
I am kind of buying into the whole brand unity thing, only because it's gotten mileage and that they did it again this year.
Yeah.
Three years in a row.
So, parang, okay.
And we're not sick of it.
Sige. You turned it into a tradition. I'll give you that. That's cool. That's cool with me. But I still need stakes on this, but that's cool with me.
Last year, we had a viewing party and they were keeping track of the scores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
It was going. Tied into the last
match. So parang nag game 7 yung last match.
Game 7.
Yun yung game 7.
Game 7!
So yeah, game 7 feels. I really wish na yung stakes ng mixed match challenge dun na lang sa Survivor Series.
Yeah, pero marami.
This is how you book it, right?
Okay.
If what you want is the number 30 spot in the Royal Rumble for the men's and women's, you leave it to the singles. Like yung 5-man and 5-woman teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then you let these 5 people compete over the next few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Or in a championship scramble. Or
what
a fatal 5-way.
Mm.
Fuck the tag teams.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was going to say. Apparently, what about those guys who we're talking about now?
Well,
must you hate on the tag teams,
I'm
Stan?
Not hating on the tag... Oh, okay, fine. Let them fight against one another in like a gauntlet match or some shit. But like, what's the point? There is no Royal
what's
Rumble
the point
for
of
tag
teams?
No. I'm not saying what's the point of tag teams.
There's a tag team Royal Rumble.
Walang tag team Royal Rumble. So what? I don't know what stakes they have.
That's true.
So that's what makes it tricky. But maybe this is why they put it's a mixed match challenge. It's an idea I still oppose, by the way. I still don't like it. But I wish na yung number 30 spot was up for grabs for Survivor Series. That way you have long-term booking and planning.
Yeah, sure.
Valid.
So let's
go
back to
the GM Hood.
Fantasy booking over.
Tana, would you really want to see the Ascension as GMs?
Why not?
Actually,
it would
that'd
get
be
spooky.
Fun. No. Bring back Brizango, diba? Habang GM sila. Tanga na. One whole show na puro fashion
actually,
fast shit.
What the fuck's the timeline on fucking Dango?
Anyway, I don't know.
Anyway,
That's why they brought up Lucha's party, by the way, because
of Dango.
Yeah,
there aren't enough tag. Well, there was Heath Slater and Rhino.
Oh,
what
the fuck?
Oh, I know.
What the fuck, Mayor Rhino?
Well, he's not even a mayor.
Yeah,
he didn't even
true.
Win.
Yeah, that's right.
He lost. Kane is a bigger problem here than him.
I think Team SmackDown
wins. Pala, no?
Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah.
Why aren't they booked?
DX. No, Triple H is injured. Sorry.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I think Team SmackDown wins.
Sure.
Okay,
just
fine.
Because all of the Raw teams are...
Yeah, I think Team SmackDown wins because they're going to push for SmackDown to try and sweep. Because they've
been behind the past
they have
two
traditionally
years.
Lost the Survivor Series
comeback season,
bragging rights competition comeback season. The past 2 years, so parang take SmackDown here.
Okay. I take SmackDown.
Yeah, yeah. I will too, just because of the star value dito sa SmackDown team. True. I mean, Colon's aside.
They did move the big tag teams to SmackDown sa shakeup.
Yeah.
True.
Okay, Cruiserweight Championship, medyo saling pusa sila, even though I know, you know, we love
please
the Cruiserweights.
Buddy
Murphy versus Mustafa Ali. I think Murphy retains. According to Wikipedia, it's not on the kickoff.
Please. Like, if they make it to the main show and they're curtain jerkers, I'll be fine with this.
But I don't think they will be.
But, either way,
if I had to call it, I'd say Rollins Nakamura is your first match on the main card.
Anyway, kickoff will have the Cruiserweight Championship match.
Damn it. Okay, Murphy. Okay. I think
it's Buddy Murphy.
I think so as well. But there are so many factors at play here. I put out Life from 205 today, and okay, there are three scenarios this can go.
But a final four.
Yeah. One is straight up Murphy and Ali do not change hands.
Okay.
Murphy wins clean. Ali
does not win.
Yep. For the second big pay per view in a row. Second is Ali wins, and then Ali defends against both Murphy and Cedric Alexander.
That's enticing, but yes.
Because Cedric is probably gonna have his rematch soon after beating Leo Rush this week.
Good match.
Yeah, good match. Good match. Third is Cedric turns heel, costs Ali the match, and we'll also get that three-way. This time, Murphy's a champion. So I don't know which scenario I like the best. Probably the last scenario, if we're gonna stick with Murphy not losing the title yet.
But yeah, because so, I think they need to prolong Murphy just a little bit more.
Yeah, probably. So I'm calling Murphy retaining.
I call Murphy retaining.
All right. Now let's move on to the champions versus champions tag team match between AOP with Drake Maverick and The Bar with The Big Show.
If there was one match that could go the way of Raw, I think this is it.
Feeling ko ako rin, eto rin.
This is the one, because then you have Behemoths versus the Additional Muscle in Big Show.
Yeah.
And that's going to make a great visual, them taking him out.
I don't know. Yeah, you're right. Probably get the young big tag team over. Yeah. Okay lang.
Mas kailangan din nila.
Yeah. Well, okay.
It's gonna be entertaining.
Here
though.
Is a this question is... brought up: is this a straight up 2-on-2 tag match, or with the third men being wrestlers themselves? Will this be a 3-on-3? Because hindi naman siya ano.
No, it's 2-on-2.
It's 2-on-2.
All right. Fine.
They would have built
it's
it as
a championship match.
Yeah,
no.
They would have built it as a 6-man match if Drake Maverick and the Big Show
because if we got Spud versus Show,
diba?
just for like 1 minute of that, what just Show throwing him up and then punching him in the face, I could live with that.
Let's think about this for a quick second here. How funny would it be to see Drake Maverick as a face and a heel on the same show?
Yeah, so he is actually another nuanced character.
I was gonna say, could he be like in the long run? Could he be more flip floppity than
Cena
than Big Show?
No,
because I don't know. Here's the thing about Drake: when you watch him on 205 Live, he is super neutral. That's it, super lawful neutral. Yeah,
dead smack.
So
in the middle.
I can see him
true neutral.
Yeah. I can see his heelish actions on Raw being closer to his real character on 205 Live. You see, he's not super babyface.
True.
So okay, so I just thought it would be funny to see Drake handling something cruiserweight related on Survivor Series, and biglang when he comes out with AOP, kupal na siya, diba?
Oh,
that'd be a funny visual. All right, let's go to the women's Survivor Series elimination match. Team Raw has Mickie James, Nia Jax, Tamina, Natalya, and Ruby Riott, with Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, and Sarah Logan on the sidelines. And Team SmackDown has Carmella, Naomi, Sonya Deville, Asuka, and TBA.
Sino si TBA?
Who else is
who slots
Lana,
in?
Lana, probably.
First question, who slots in?
I don't know.
Lana.
Lana si Charlotte, di ba?
Yeah, Charlotte's out.
Yeah, probably.
Lana is the obvious pick.
Or one of
the
Revolution girls.
Yeah, either No, Sonya's in the match.
Sonya's in the match.
I think it's either Mandy or Peyton.
Probably Peyton.
I could deal with that.
Yeah.
I'd probably put my money on Peyton Royce. In which case, I think Team Raw wins. Kasi parang yung...
Yeah, no, actually, mas halimaw yung Team Raw na women's division.
I think this is Asuka's chance.
They only got...
I want this to be Asuka's chance.
Yeah, probably.
Soul Survivor Asuka.
No, wait,
just
wait,
to give her...
She already did that last year, though.
Oh,
it's fine.
For Raw.
For Raw. That's why.
Then, if the bar loses, then the women have to win. Alright. I think so.
Yeah. That's why. After, that's the one match that Raw can win. Every other match, SmackDown.
Who do we got? Raw again? Naya, Tamina, the two Samoans, basically.
Yeah, Mickie James.
Mickie James,
Ruby and Natalya.
Okay. Tamina is like the lesser big woman here. So.
But if you go my infighting then with Natalya and Ruby Riott.
Sure. Yeah.
This is SmackDown's lose.
Yes. Actually, when you look at the Survivor Series team ng Raw and SmackDown, parang mas delineated yung baby faces and heels. Like, Raw is basically a heel team with Natalya being the exception, and SmackDown is a babyface team with Sonya kind of being neutral at this point.
I would say SmackDown wins. Because they seem to be more united.
SmackDown wins. Asuka so Survivor.
Okay.
Going that far.
Champion versus champion match, Seth Rollins versus Shinsuke Nakamura. I call shenanigans with Dean allowing Nakamura to win.
Yeah.
I call potential match of the year.
If they get enough time, sure.
I call potential match of the year Nakamura.
Candidate.
Sure. Okay, next.
It's one of those matches because that just like, I want this. I didn't know I wanted this at the start of the year.
Well, now you've got it.
Now I got it.
Okay, men's Survivor Series elimination match. Team Raw has Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, and Bobby Lashley. And then you've got Baron Corbin as captain and Leo Rush in Bobby Lashley's corner. Versus Team SmackDown, The Miz is your team captain. They've got Shane McMahon, Rey Mysterio, Samoa Joe, and Jeff Hardy. Womp womp.
Bakit may womp womp pa for Jeff Hardy?
Di na bilib kay Jeff, okay?
God.
Is Randy Orton in the match?
No, he's not. He bitched about it on social media.
Okay. Yeah.
So I mean, it's the 11th time that he's not in a Survivor Series match.
After winning...
To be fair, you know, Randy is likely to fuck up the team.
Yeah.
His own team.
Because he's fucked it up. Who is he fucked over on that?
He's trying to fuck with Rey.
He's trying to fuck with Rey. He's fucked up Jeff.
Miz.
He's fucked with Miz.
Shane.
He's fucked with Shane a lot.
Samoa Joe is the only guy who he hasn't fucked with.
Yeah, kasi siguro takot siya. Parang kapantay lang niya.
No.
Okay, so at this point, Randy shenanigans?
No, I don't think Randy Orton appears at all.
Okay, but here, so...
No, probably wants to eliminate Rey, because he's currently feuding with Rey.
Yeah. But I think he shows it.
I don't think SmackDown wins. Yeah, how do you eliminate Braun Strowman?
This is Raw's to lose.
This is Raw's to lose, but I still got my money on SmackDown.
Right? Feeling ko Raw to, kasi diba, last year yung sole survivors were Kurt Angle and Triple H.
Yeah.
I don't remember how Strowman was taken out last year. But I think this is the year to start rebuilding Strowman with him as the sole survivor. I think that's the way you do it. So I think this is for Raw.
Toto.
Any other thoughts, Camus?
No.
Okay.
I'm still sticking to SmackDown.
All right, let's go to Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair. I touched on this earlier. I think it's Ronda.
Right. Unless Becky's
like, bitch, I'm fine. Boom.
Yeah. No, or you know, fucks with Ronda
during the match,
to cost her the loss.
That's fine.
But is this the way that her undefeated streak ends? I don't think so.
I think it's fine.
Yeah, I think it's
fine. If that's the way it goes down against Charlotte, that's fine.
Especially in service of the Alexa... Ah, sorry. Why do I keep saying Alexa? Becky Ronda feud.
Yeah, it works.
To lead into WrestleMania.
Yeah. Or Royal Rumble. Or whatever. Wherever they plan to do it. Yeah.
But can I say, can we just... If she does mess with this match, I want to see the man in the Iron Mask. Sorry, right. Rip Hamilton. Rip Hamilton mask on her. It'll just do so well.
Why are we still referencing Rip Hamilton when you can say Cody Rhodes?
You can say Rip Hamilton is still the most popular guy who's worn a face mask.
Point.
Oh, fine.
I mean, because Cody has his own identity.
No, but Cody did say that he saw Rip Hamilton.
Yeah.
Dun nang galing yun eh.
Of course.
Okay, now let's end with Brock Lesnar versus Daniel Bryan.
Daniel fucking Bryan, kick his head in!
I don't know how Bryan can realistically win.
Realistically, because one, Bryan is smaller, and two, Brock gonna Brock.
Yes.
But kick his head in! Just fucking do it already!
Probably will, but not leading
to concuss Brock! Concuss Brock, end his career this way.
Wow,
do it, Brian.
Really? Wow.
What a toxic fan.
You are wishing a concussion on Brock Lesnar.
Oh,
a man who has done literally nothing to you or your family.
just to see the visual.
And Kamus, you're fucked up.
I am fucked up. I am so fucked up.
What is wrong with you, Kamus?
You see the week we've had? Okay, I don't wish any bodily harm on
you.
Brock.
You just did.
Not truly. I've calmed down, but I do want to see him.
Like
get his
head. Binabawi mo na.
Yeah, binabawi ko na. I just want to see his head get kicked in.
All right.
Just you probably would. I need Brian, the American Dragon Danielson, back.
You guys realize?
Do you think he's gonna shave his head? Because I want.
Yes. If he gets the fucking buzz cut back.
And Kamus just broke his glasses. What an idiot.
So fucking hyped I am about this shit.
I want him to also shave his head.
Shave his head. Get back to the old man that he was. And you know, just do it. Yeah. Do it now. American Dragon.
Okay, please stop screaming into the mic, Kamus.
I need this.
Okay. I'm not sure if you guys realize this, but Raw pretty much won.
Yes,
our
okay.
predictions called for another Raw victory for the
third year
in a row.
As long as Brock Lesnar
loses.
No. Yeah, kasi at this point, parang, okay. As long as, you know, there are factors like as long as Brock Lesnar is on Raw, the champion versus champion match is always going to be his. As long as Braun Strowman is on Survivor Series match, always going to be his then.
In their favor, yes.
Yeah.
Wait, did we predict Ronda or Charlotte to win?
Ronda.
Yeah, so it's a 4-3 Raw win.
Yeah.
Fuck, down to the wire na naman.
Yep.
Unless...
Because we predicted Nakamura to win for SmackDown.
Yeah, unless...
and team... The women's team. And
kasi
SmackDown tag teams.
We want the Ronda loss to happen, but we are not expecting it to happen.
Logically speaking, no.
Yeah, because, you know, Ronda gonna Ronda. Diba?
Yep.
It's a thing they do.
The same way Brock gonna Brock.
Yeah, exactly. You know, MMA guys and all that. UFC guys.
Yeah, there. So what do you think?
Fuck, oh, no.
What are your predictions for Survivor Series? For some reason, I'm not really hyped, and I low-key
regret. You're not hyped?
No, he is.
Are you low-key hyped?
He said, I am really hyped.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I low-key regret not putting up a viewing party.
We mostly think... No. We didn't know in the minute, for one. And
hey,
we,
okay, everything happened on SmackDown.
No, hold up. WWE didn't know either.
That's true.
Can't lie there.
Okay.
But, no. We have to thank SmackDown for hyping Survivor Series. They fucking carry this build-up.
Yeah, SmackDown's the real MVP. SmackDown cared enough to see Raw. Raw didn't even bother to show up on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Aside from Paul Heyman.
Actually, yeah.
They sent the Paul Russ to do all... But he was actually impactful
Sure.
You know, net effect. Paul Heyman got his job done.
That's true. He is the spy.
He took out the ace of SmackDown, replaced him with a prone Daniel Bryan, who had to turn heel. Ooh. Meta narrative. There's a meta narrative there that I like this. Paul Heyman invaded and succeeded.
Fine.
Sorry, it has to be said.
Okay.
They did something.
We're about to end this week's podcast. Before we do that, as always, we got to give you our picks of the week. So, fine, I'll start. I'll go with the Becky Lynch injury/SmackDown invasion of Raw, from her calling Ronda Rousey Ronnie to putting her in.
So, everything that happened on Raw.
Everything that happened on Raw. So, yeah, everything. That's my pick of the week.
If you're not surprised by now, my pick, Daniel Bryan.
So, yeah,
fucking. Best thing, man. I'm sorry for shouting. Daming feelings.
Yeah,
masyadong maraming feelings to.
Yeah, no shit, Captain Obvious.
For a man who has held Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, the American Dragon, in such high regard, and see him return to this is, you know, gives me feelings, gives me hope for wrestling. It's a real moment for me.
Right. Okay, there's so many things I can pick, but...
You can pick everything that happened on SmackDown. Everything that happened with Becky on SmackDown.
Nah, let's highlight on something we haven't really discussed. If you haven't seen Danny Burch versus Pete Dunne from NXT
that's
UK,
good.
One of NXT UK's two episodes from last week, do yourself
good
a favor.
Shit.
It was a good match, though.
Good
really
shit.
Great.
Parang,
Danny Burch could have won that match and been the UK champion, but he did not. So the Pete Dunne train continues until they address the fact that he just got injured.
Until they pick up Walter.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a matter of time.
That's the thing. My thing Walter on that is Dragunov. That oof. My thing there is that I think that Danny Burch has low key been one of the best performers.
Yeah, that's why they gave him
for,
a shot.
No, for the NXT brand across the board this year. He's one of those dark horse workhorse guys.
But well, he is a veteran of almost 20 years or so. So
pushing it.
So I think he's earned it.
Alright. Now as we end here, I just wanna give a quick eulogy to my favorite Lucha Underground wrestler, Johnny Mundo.
Wait. Speaking of eulogy, yeah, we have to say our thanks to our Lord and Savior Stan Lee.
Oh yes.
Yeah, Excelsior.
Excelsior. I am deeply saddened because, you know. I think we are all inspired somehow by at least one of his works. At least one of his creations. So, a huge loss.
Co-creations.
A huge loss dealt to everyone in the whole world, pretty much.
Yep. It's because if you think he didn't have an impact on wrestling, check the tributes. Check the fucking tributes, guys.
Yeah, man.
Your favorite wrestler, if it's Will Ospreay, it's Ricochet. Mm-hmm. Well, those two guys, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, lots of people sent out their thanks for him inspiring us to believe in heroes.
Yeah, I wonder when JPE will follow suit. Anyway,
hey, someone else who's never gonna die.
Yeah. Anyway, I just want to say thank you to Johnny Mundo because he had played a great game on Survivor, and I got my blind side fixed today when he got voted out. So that was a bit of a bummer.
That's okay.
But I met him 6 years ago when he performed.
Was that 6 years ago?
It was 6 years ago. Ro and I were at that show alongside our friend Anthony Coelho.
It feels like so much longer.
And I got a picture with Johnny Mundo at the time. Obviously, hindi pa siya Johnny Mundo nun. And, you know.
He wasn't even Johnny Wrestling.
Yes.
Johnny WWF.
He was just John Hennigan before he became Johnny Gimmick Name. So, I'm really happy that he was able to make my two fandoms collide for, I don't know, 3 months? 2 months?
It's a long time, Dim, since that viewing party.
Yeah, pretty long time. So, I'm pretty happy that Johnny Mundo lasted long enough for me to keep watching him as part of the jury for Survivor David versus Goliath.
Abot ba siya, no? Final...
Tribal Council? Yeah, as a juror.
Yeah.
So, he's a second member of the jury. There's like 11 other people left in the game, so he's just 12th place.
Yeah.
Again, not bad for the Goliath of the Goliath, since he was the biggest guy out there.
Parang sarap sabihin, parang naka-chongwan ka pero nakalipas.
Not even. Like I don't think that analogy applies. I'm just happy that, you know, we'll keep seeing him as a member of the jury. So there.
True.
Now that brings us to the official end of this week's podcast. Everybody who's been subscribing, downloading, rating us, thank you so much. We do appreciate the ratings. In fact, we need them.
Hey.
We have no idea how Spotify measures stats and the metrics and all that. So we have some idea, but not
a full idea.
Yes.
And you know, you can just talk shit on the Facebook page or Twitter.
Sure, yeah. Engage with us, please, however you can. It really, really helps us if you leave feedback on the podcast. So please do that. And if you haven't done so yet, do subscribe to us on Spotify. You can download the episodes as well. So it's really, really efficient. And, you know, for a long drive or for, you know, you just being stuck in traffic for your daily commute, we hope that we can take us with you.
Shout outs to our friend Matt, who listened to us and shouted us out.
While he was stuck in traffic.
While he was stuck in traffic.
Thank you.
Thank you. Specifically, Matt.
Matt the artist.
Matt the artist. Follow him on Facebook.
On Instagram.
Also on the Facebook. Yeah, also on the Facebook.
On the book and on the gram.
He's everywhere. Right now, we'll catch you next week for another episode as we build towards the big events this week. You've got you've got Vendetta on the 25th, Xavier Woods in Manila November 30, and MWF Noche Buena on December 1. Okay, thanks.
I'm not sure.
It's after the Xavier Woods thing.
Right.
So we are closing the week with Noche Buena.
It's another one of those magagabihan tayo.
It's a packed week of wrestling.
Yeah, that's why we will be having Chino on. Surprise, Chino. to not only review PWR, but also to, you know, help hype MWF. Surprise, Chino.
We're totally fucked if he's not available. But anyway, we're out of here. Episode number 243, I believe, in the books. And on behalf of Ro Moran and Raf Camus, my name is Stan C, saying thank you, and we are out of here.
Peace.
Dragon, Dragon. X don't give it to you. Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. X don't deliver to you. Knock, knock, open up the door and spill. With the non-stop, pop out and stainless steel. No heart getting busy with it. But I got such a good heart that I make the motherfucker.
cannot do it again.